Amen. All righty. I'm going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're talking about guidance in life. And I think when I look at guidance, how many issues just in a week's time, how many decisions you make. Sometimes in life, you aren't even meaning to make a decision that's big and important. But many of you meet a spouse not expecting to meet them at this certain place. You're just going there to go to the store, to go bowling, to go golfing, or go, wherever. You're just going to Fred Meyer, and then you met the person you're to marry. And you found out that if you would have went to Safeway that day, or vice versa, you might not have found the right decision. There's many, many, many decisions in life that you need that are important to make, that you have to be careful how you make properly. I think of little decisions that I have been making, just like for youth conference. We're heading to California today for youth conference, and I think, well, first of all, we have to drive down there, and I've had to decide, are we going to stay in a hotel on Sunday night, or are we going to stay in the church that we could sleep in the church there? And, well, that determines when I leave, how far I'm going, and where I'll be at certain times. And that determines, well, let's see, what's the big difference? You sleep in a hotel or you sleep in a church. It's not a full night, it's just only 5 hours sleep or so, because you got to leave early in the morning. But, well, let me explain it this way. First of all, it's a money difference. Money always matters. It's a money difference to put everybody in the hotel. But besides that, let's say I decide to stay at the church tonight instead of staying at the hotel. Church is going to put me 15 minutes behind schedule. So I asked God, Lord, which one do you want me to do? And I asked for wisdom. Well, we decided the church. Well, I believe that's what God led to do. Well, 15 minutes could put me in the middle of an accident, or 15 minutes behind an accident, or 15 minutes ahead of an accident. See, I don't know that, so I need guidance in my life. There are so many times God is so good to us, and we didn't even plan to make a good decision, but God was graceful. I know many people who married well but didn't have the wisdom to marry well at the time. But God had a plan for them, and he helped guide them. And I think in your life, when you make decisions like that all the time, you make many decisions. This morning, yesterday, we got the shuttle back, and it got worked on, and the main shuttle. And we had to get something done, and it was a pretty major job. And somewhere in the process of getting it back together, something was done wrong, and it is not running good at all. It's running really bad. And I had to decide, do we forget the shuttle this morning, or do we bring it this morning? Again, all these decisions in life, just you got to make decisions all the time. You go to a yellow light. Do I run it, or do I stop? That may make a difference in a ticket. That may make a lot of difference. See, in life, you got many decisions. Who do I marry? Where do I live? Do I live at this place or this place? Where do I go to send my kids to school? What job do I take? Many decisions in life you have to make. And we need guidance. And so as we go through this lesson on guidance, today I want to talk a little bit about, we're going to explain, we've taught you many principles of guidance, but today we're going to show you an example of guidance in somebody's life, somebody specifically who is guided in their life by the Lord, and how God guided their life along, and that life is David. It's David. And I'm going to read out of 1 Samuel 16, and I'm going to just read you some verses here. David was a man who had you'd call a pretty successful life. And he had a lot of strange situations, but God guided his life. And he let God guide his life. I believe every Christian, God guides your life. Not all of us follow that guidance. Like Jonah. Jonah didn't follow God's guidance, but God did guide him. 1 Samuel, in chapter 16, let me just read verse 6. It came to pass, and they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Well, in this story, Samuel is told to go anoint a new king. And he says he's going to come from this family. And Jesse had six sons. And so he says, go anoint one of his sons. And so Jesse lines up, starts the oldest. Normally, the oldest in a family, in a monarchy, becomes the king. And he's the firstborn, and he's a leader of the family outside the dad and in the Bible. And boy, Samuel thought, this is the guy. Look at him. This has got to be the Lord's anointed. He looks great. He looks like the guy. But it wasn't God's will. It says man sees differently, so that's not the one. Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And Jesse made Shema, and Jesse made all of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are all thy children? He said, there remaineth the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and wherewithal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. David, let me just give you a few points here. First of all, David had no idea what the Lord had for him. Starting in guidance in somebody's life, David was keeping the sheep. He was a shepherd boy. He was taking care of his dad's sheep, and all of a sudden, some messenger comes and says, your dad needs you right away. Okay. He comes in there. There's an elderly man standing there, and his dad's standing there, and the elderly man says, that's the one. Walks over to David, pours oil on his head. That's how they anointed a king. And David said, what just happened? Oh, you were just anointed the king of Israel. He wasn't in the right family. He didn't have the background for it. He was just a young, maybe a 13 or 14 year old shepherd boy. That's all he was. The first point I want to say is David had no idea what the Lord had for him. Because of that, can I say, be very flexible in your plans in life. Do not get your life so set in stone that if God changes your plan, or you find his plan is different than your plan, you can't change it. Listen, growing up, not a Christian, and then being saved, I had no plan to be in the ministry. Even after I became a Christian at first, I was like, man, I just hope I can become a good Christian someday. And lo and behold, and I least expected it, God called me into the ministry and said, I want you to be a preacher. And I said, me? And the Lord said, yes. And you know what? I had to just say, okay. Now, that is why one of the great things that I like to see is I like to see young people surrender to ministry. I like to see young people get led while they're young, because old people, they get stuck in their ways and stuck in their plans. And I think God calls many older Christians to do things, go to the ministry, to go to different things, to go to the mission field, to go change what they had planned. But older people, it is hard to change once you're set in life. Listen, when I was 16, to say, I'm not going anywhere with my life anyway, that's fine. But if God called me right now to the mission field, I would go, but you know, my life would be a lot harder to move. I have six little ones to take with me. I have a wife. I have a home. I have a church. I have roots. I have all kinds of things that anchor you down in life. And by the way, if any of those things anchor me down so much that I wouldn't change my plans for God, I would get rid of them. Anything that keeps you from doing God's will is something you have to get rid of. And so be flexible in your plans, because you need to be willing to do whatever God calls you to do. Wherever God wants to move you, whatever he has you to do, you need to be flexible, because David's plan, was not God's plan. God's plan was way different than what David had planned. So be flexible in your plans in life. Always be ready for God to change anything in your life and to move everything. How many of you are like me? I'm a person who does not like change in my life. I like things consistent and not change. How many of you are like me? You're a not changer. I am a not changing person. I could drive the same car for the rest of my life, except for they fall apart. I could live in the same house the rest of my life. I could pass to the same church the rest of my life. I don't like change. I'm the kind of person who just likes things to stay the same. If I don't like it, I fix it till I like it, and then I don't like it. I have this issue right now with many people driving my car. And the seats are all wrong. And the mirrors are all wrong. And I have to get on and change it all. And you know what? I can't get stuck in my life where I say, I've got to do this. If God wants me to go here or there, I got to be willing. Number two, the Lord's will used his skills for surprising purposes. The Lord used his skills for surprising purposes. If you look at chapter 16, in verse 14, it says, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth you. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player with the harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And verse 19, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me up David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them to David and to Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. And verse 23 says, it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. God in his plan for your life made you specifically a certain way. He made you good at certain things. I see that in our church. Some of you are good at certain things, and you help out in the church with things that nobody else is good at. And God gifted you, and you didn't even know that was what God's plan was for your life. God gave you skills in certain things. The things that I am good at, I find, are what I need for this church. There are certain things the way I'm wired. Now, there's a pastor in a different church who has a totally different skill set than me, a totally different set of gifts, and he is way better at certain things than I am, and yet he does great where he is, and I am doing what I am supposed to do here because that's what God does. All my weaknesses and struggles were to help this generation. I look as I grew up. I grew up in such a troubled home, in such a troubled situation, and in such a messed up life, and I was around so many messed up people, and from my youth, I was around drugs and alcohol and troubled people. I grew up very lazy. I grew up with a lot of things in my life that were things I didn't like. I didn't want to have happen in my life. However, my whole life, God has put me around troubled people with all those troubles. And that wouldn't have been how I planned my life, to go through all those troubles. Yet, I am able to help a lot of people with a lot of troubles and a lot of things that most people don't have the wisdom or knowledge how to help people in those areas. And God put those in my life. And so I can stand back and say, I was made a certain way and put in a certain set of circumstances so I could help people. And God had a plan. Let me read you a letter. This is a prayer letter from, this isn't actually one of our missionaries, but it's the son of one of our missionaries. The Allens are our missionaries. We support in New Guinea. But the Allens that we support, his son is the pastor there in New Guinea. And the dad and mom went to go join him. Let me read you this interesting, showing you how God uses your skills and plans for you to have certain skills so you can be used by him. It says, on February 1st, this is a new prayer letter from April, we got to see the Lord once again give the desires of our heart. Looking back over the years, I've been amazed at how our Heavenly Father has molded the desires of my heart and then fulfilled these desires. As a teen, I loved airplanes. If it flew, I wanted this picture and a ride on it. I got my pilot's license at 17 years old and quickly began working my way towards the corporate world with the hopes of one day being an airline pilot. But God had different plans. As I headed into college, God tugged at my heart to give him my life for his use, and I did, knowing that it might mean not flying anymore. And God planted a new desire in my heart. At 24 years old, with a young family, I arrived in Papua New Guinea to be a missionary. No airplane, but thrilled to be a missionary. Over the years of ministry to the Kamiya people, we began to see how God could use my background in aviation to speed up the transportation time to reach the rest of this tribe and the tribes surrounding the Kamiya. They live so far, there's no road to where they live. They live way out there, so far out, there's only one trail, and the trail goes over a bunch of mountains, and it's single file. And it is next to impossible to get supplies there because you have to go over this trail overland and try carrying 200 pounds of supplies over this trail. It takes days to get over. And even when they want to bring Bibles in, you know how hard it is to carry 75 Bibles over a little tiny skinny trail. And last year, while on furlough, we saw the Lord provide the finances through you kind people to pay for an airplane to use for this ministry. On February 1st, we were able to purchase that airplane here in the Papua New Guinea. The airplane has a new engine, new propeller, and had just come through a detailed inspection. Without a doubt, it's a very nice airplane. Within a few weeks of receiving it, we had it all repainted and ready to flight. And it's a picture of it here. And so, here's this guy. God made him always love airplanes, always want to be a pilot. And then God said, okay, go to the mission field. And he said, oh, I was going to be a commercial pilot. I had his plan. But now, because of where he is and where God called him, God, he says, you know what? God gave me that desire to be a pilot because I was going to be in the middle of a place where I had to fly an airplane into. And boy, you have to be a good pilot too. It's an airstrip, and the end of this airstrip is a straight down cliff drop off. And every time they fly out of there, he told me, when you fly out of there, your plane drops down and you just start going down in the valley. It's like going off an aircraft carrier almost. And you see that God prepared him and used his set of skills for that. And that's very important. Number three, events in God's will prepared him for the future. Events in God's will prepared him for the future. So God is going to guide David's life, and David's going to do a bunch of great things. But all these things are being worked together because God's going to use him in a certain way. And so he was fearfully and wonderfully made. He was going to play the harp so he can be before the king. He was going to be a person who had different skills. And in God's will, he found out how to use those skills for God and to have a productive life. In 1 Samuel 17, before David kills Goliath, it says in verse 34, "And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And it went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defiled the armies of the living God." David, as a young man, as a child really, just 12, 13, 11 years old, he was watching the sheep, and out came a lion to take one of his sheep. And he killed the lion with his bare hands. And then a bear came and took one of his sheep, and he killed the bear. And he slit his throat and killed it. Or the lion slit his throat. And he killed these two animals by God's strength. And now, by the way, if my child was 12 or 13 or 14, and a bear came and took a lamb, I'm not expecting them without a gun to go take care of the lamb. Say, we'll just chalk that one up to a loss. But David was so diligent, he literally went out and said, these are my sheep, and I'm taking care of my sheep, and my dad gave me this job, and I'm doing this for God, and I'm going to give it with all my might. And so he went, and he went out there, and as a child with no modern technology weapons, he slew a lion and a bear face to face to save one sheep. In the will of God, and that was God's will for his life, he learned there that God gave him the strength to kill a lion, and God gave him the strength to kill a bear, and now God can give him strength to kill that giant over there. That rhymed, didn't it? Kill that lion over there, and God gave that ability so he could kill that lion. In other words, in the will of God, he learned that. When we are training the men in our church, the ministry, one of the things when they're being trained, and I tell them this all the time, is you're not going to know that I'm training you. First thing you're going to learn to do is be a good Christian. You're going to learn a bunch of things that don't look like ministry stuff, but they are ministry stuff. They are ministry stuff. And you know what? It might not look like being prepared to be a king is by going and killing a lion when you're watching the sheep. But when you're in God's will, God sees what you're going to face in the future, and he says, let me prepare you for what you're going to face in the future. But you don't find that if you're not in the will of God. Many people leave the will of God and don't stay in the will of God, and then they get to a situation where they need to be to do something great. They are not prepared for it because they didn't stay in the will of God, and God's will prepares you. Even if you have lived a rough or a bad or a moral life, did you know God can go and use your evil for his good to prepare you to help people in the future? I'm going to read, it's a verse in 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 16. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Very interesting. Paul was a man who God gave great zeal, and had so much zeal that he killed Christians and had them delivered to be killed. And this man was so wicked and so vile, he had Christian families murdered for the gospel. And then he goes forward and becomes a Christian, becomes the greatest Christian who ever lived probably, and stands there and says, you know, there is a reason that I got saved. It was so everybody else for the rest of time, when they say, I'm not good enough to go to heaven, everybody will point back to me and say, look at Paul. He became a great Christian, though he used to kill Christians. See, you might have done some really bad things in your life, and you might have had some really bad experiences in your life, but understand, God can use that to help some other people who've done what you've done. And that's God's greatness, is he can prepare you for the future he has for you to use greatly. So if you've messed some things up, you've done some really bad things, understand, there is somebody in your future, if you will live in the will of God, who will get to where you are right now, and they will say, nobody knows what this is like, and nobody, I can't get any help, and there's no hope for me. And you, having been there, will be ahead of it now and conquered it, and be able to grab them by the hand and say, yes, you can. Let me take you there to a great life, because God can do this. That's why God can use what you've been through to help you to help people. And that's why you might suffer sometimes. If you will suffer right and stay in the will of God, you can go and be used by God in the future. And you know what? Many people in life sit there and say, man, my life is so hard and nobody understands. And we are isolated in our minds to think we're the only person who ever suffers this right here. Well, that's probably not true, but the person who suffered it before you didn't make it through it well enough to come back and tell you they did it. And now it's time you do that. And you're going to conquer this thing so you can go forward and help somebody else. Next, he was guided in God's will by his authorities. These are a lot of principles we've taught you before along guidance, but we're just watching it being done in somebody's life. He was guided in God's will by his authorities. We saw in chapter 16, when he was anointed to be king, his dad said, come back here. And he came back there. We saw he learned what he needed to learn about being about killing Goliath from obeying his dad and taking care of the sheep. That's how he learned God's will. And by doing what his dad told him to do. And then his dad said, come in here, son. And he comes in, and the prophet Samuel anoints him with oil and makes him the king of Israel. And what did he do? He didn't say, I don't want to do that. I want to live my life. He was anointed king of Israel. He was guided by his authorities in his life. If you look at chapter 17, or you listen along as I read it, chapter 17, David killed Goliath. But you know why David killed Goliath? He wasn't a soldier. The battle was going on, and all of David's brothers, or several of David's brothers, were there at the battle, and Israel was there fighting against the Philistines, and here was Goliath standing in the valley mocking God and mocking Israel. And David walks along, and he comes there and hears Goliath mocking God. He's not a soldier. He doesn't have armor, doesn't have weapons. And he says, why doesn't somebody kill him? He's mocking God. And they said, you see how big he is? He's 9.5 feet tall. He's a giant. And he says, and? I don't care. Somebody needs to kill him. He's making fun of God. He was there. Why was he even there at this battle? Why wasn't he watching the sheep? Verse 17. And Jesse said to David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captains of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul, neither all the men are with Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. Look at that. Look how diligent he is. And took and went as Jesse commanded him. And he went to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. David, did you see why David was there? Why was David even there to kill Goliath? Anybody? His dad sent him there to take food and feed his brothers. It says, run to the place. And he went and said, okay, you take care of the sheep. I'm going to do this with my dad. And he went to the place, and he was where he was supposed to be. And he got to kill Goliath because he was right there at the right time because he did what his dad said. If David would have disobeyed his dad, he wouldn't have killed Goliath. Did his dad tell him to kill Goliath? No, but he was in the right place. And because he was in the right place, in God's plan was David killed Goliath. He caused his dad to tell him to go there and bring him the corn and the bread. Listen real carefully. It's real important to me, to you and to me, if we can grasp this. in your life, when you decide to serve God, and I hope you really do decide to serve God with your life, God will begin planning your life and forming it partially through your authorities. You will not know everything you need to know. You will not know everything you need to learn. And you cannot develop everything you need except God does it through authorities. The Bible says the authorities are in the hand of God. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever he will. The powers that be are ordained of God. Many people have come to me and say, Pastor, I really, 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 really want patience. And I struggle with patience and anger and everything else. And I say, okay, let's pray about that. And we pray for God to give you patience. And then a week later, somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, man, I need you to pray for me. I need to get a new job. I've got this terrible new supervisor, and they just drive me crazy. Your prayer might have got answered by that crazy supervisor who drives you crazy. Oh, Pastor, you don't know my supervisor. They aren't sent from God. You should hear how they talk. I understand. But Nebuchadnezzar was sent by God for Israel, and he was a vile, wicked idolater who didn't even worship God, worshiped demons, and changed everybody's name to demonic names when they came, yet God used them. God knows who you need to be under and who you need to learn lessons from, yet we got this rebellious system of thinking in America where we hate authority, and I'm not going to listen to these people, I'm not going to let you tell me what to do, and I'm not supposed to be here, and don't tell me... You know how many Christians I have seen who had unsaved parents and their parents give them advice, but they rebel against it? And I look and say, that's exactly what you need to learn to do. Because, and I'm not talking, they tell you to do something sinful, of course not. But you know what? That's that the authorities in your life many times guide you of what God wants you to do. Sometimes because they're wiser than you, like a parent is wiser than a child, like a pastor sometimes is, like a grandparent sometimes is. Sometimes there's people who are wiser, but sometimes they're not wiser, but God put them in your life. And God is going to use them to train you for your future if you don't rebel. You're supposed to obey your authorities. Bible says that all over. 1 Peter says it in Romans, says it all over the Old Testament, all over the New Testament. It says you are supposed to obey the authorities in your life, and work is to the Lord. And you will not be developed into what you ought to be if you do not learn to let God use authorities in your life to help develop you. Even when they bother you and irritate you and frustrate you, they can still teach you tremendous things, because if you do not obey your authority, if I'm not talking when they ask you to do unscriptural things, and they tell you to go clean your room or go sweep the room or do whatever you're supposed to do at your job, and they tell you what to do and you are not there, if your boss tells you, I want you to go over there and move that tree, and you say, I'm not going to go move that tree, you are not in the will of God now. The Bible says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man. The Bible says in Colossians 3, labor for your masters according to flesh with as unto the Lord. And you, if I walked over this tree and I said, he told me to move the tree, I'm in the will of God now through my authority. And now God might send somebody right here where this tree is for me to win to Christ or to help. But not if I rebel against authority that God put in my life to help guide me in my life, because I need that. And God helps us with that. And boy, let me tell you, some of the strongest, greatest strength that I've ever gotten in my life is submitting to bad authorities. It is hard to do, and it has been one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. Was, boy, I've had some bosses, I've had some people, I've had bosses who tell you one thing and then 15 minutes later ask you why you didn't do it a different way. I've had all those things, and you know what? It has taught me a lot of things, and God uses those things, good and bad authorities. Next, life became chaotic in God's will. Life became chaotic in God's will. 1 Samuel 18. See, David's life was not all ease and comfort. He was in God's will, and it became chaotic. And I just read a couple of verses, but it's about five chapters I'd have to read all of it. This is 1 Samuel 18, verse 10. It came to pass in the morrow that an evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times. And there's a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast a javelin, for he said, I will smite even David to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Listen, Saul for five chapters and for the early part of David's life, Saul, David, he tries to murder David. And David has to leave his city. He has to leave the palace. He has to leave and even leave his country while the king of Israel is pursuing him, trying to kill him. He has to live in caves. He has to go to different people. He has to run for his life. He loses everything in God's will. Listen real carefully. We watch every movie, and every movie, the good guy wins and rides off in the sunset with a pretty girl. We read the books, and at the end, the good guy always wins, and everything's peaceful. We in life can always want things in order. We hear prosperity preachers tell us we serve God, everything goes smoothly in life. Can I tell you, you can be right in the will of God and in great chaos. You're right in the will of God and doing exactly what God wants you to do and go through crazy times. Do not think that because you're going through crazy times, you are not in the will of God. It was part of God's will that David go through crazy, chaotic times. Trust God and realize that it might not be because of something bad. It might be just God's plan for your life. And everybody in this world, the Bible says a man that is born of woman is a full of trouble. As the sparks fly upward, this world is a crazy world. Amen? This world, you can have the best plans in life and things change and go crazy. This life is chaotic. The best thing you can do in this life is not try to avoid trouble and avoid chaos and avoid heartache. The best thing you can do in life is to be so strong in the Lord that though you go through chaos, though life takes turns you didn't expect, though you go through hard times, you have the peace of God that keeps your heart and mind. That's what you should do in life. You will go through hard times in this life. You will go through trials in this life. You just got to realize that that's part of life, but in God's will, David went through them, and he made it and wrote many beautiful psalms that we read today in those hard times. Next, he stayed in God's will by not living in the past and with bitterness. God kept him, and one of the things he did that was so good is he did not get bitter. And we see, and I'm not going to read all the verses, but Saul tried to murder David multiple times, and then he spent his life trying to murder David. Now, you have problems, I have problems, and people have mistreated me and people have mistreated you. I don't think any of you have ran for several years every day of your life hiding from someone following you, trying to murder you for 4 or 5 years, and lived in the wilderness and lived in caves and left all the comforts. And yet that way, and by the way, he didn't do anything but play the harp for him and help him kill Goliath and was a blessing to him. And Saul was just jealous and tried to murder him. And then the opportunity came where Saul was asleep. And at two different times, David found Saul and could have killed him right there. And David said, I'm not going to kill you. And said, Saul, look at this. Here's your clothing I cut off from you last night. I could have killed you if I wanted to kill you. You keep saying I'm trying to take your kingdom. If I wanted to kill you, you'd be dead. And I didn't do that because I'm not bitter and angry. God has a plan for my life, and I'm not going to live in bitterness and anger and in the past, and I'm not going to live with anger and looking back at all the things you've done wrong, and I am just going to stay in God's will, which is loving and joyful and not looking back at anger and bitterness and wrath all the time. What did Saul do? You're right, David. How could I ever think that? How could I ever think that you're trying to kill me? You're right. You have been righteous and I've been evil and you could have killed me. You're right. And Saul went back to his kingdom. And then Saul turned around and went and started trying to kill him again. David, at the very end, Saul is killed. Jonathan is killed. David becomes king. And he says, is there anybody left of the house of Saul and Jonathan that I can be a blessing to? Is there any grandkids, great-grandkids, any relatives of them that I can just show the kindness of God to? See, David is in God's will because he did not let what people did to him ruin his life. I've said it many times. If someone walks up and hits you with a hammer and you get angry and mad and you say, man, that hurt. Man, that was evil. That man, that was rotten. That hurt really bad. And then what you do is you pick up that hammer and say, you know what that felt like? Wham! And you walk around your life for years. When they did this, wham! Oh, that felt just like that. That was so evil. And you sit there and whack yourself in the head for 20 years. And you relive and meditate and dwell on and are angry at somebody for years and years and keep on hurting. You know what? Do you know people who are wise in life don't even hardly remember who hurt them? You're too busy living life now. And if your psychologist tell you, what happened when you were two? Oh, when you're in your mother's womb? Oh, your mom, she was bad and tripped and she hit the coffee table. You know what? That caused some kind of traumatic injury, and that's why your life's a wreck. And your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma, when she was coming across in a wagon train, it was very bumpy, and you suffer from that in your mind now, and your whole life's a wreck. And you know what? Your mom wasn't there for you, and your daddy was this, and your life's going to be miserable, and you're hopeless. And you say, yeah, I'm hopeless. I hate my mom. My dad's evil. He ruined my whole life. I need to go tell him how terrible. You're terrible. You ruined my whole life. And you live in the past and ruin your life, and you sit there and become bitter, and you let what somebody did to you when you're 9 ruin your life when you're 40 and 50, and you live a miserable life. Please don't do that. Don't sit there and let them continue to ruin your life. Move on, don't be bitter, and have a joyful life. God's got a great plan. He did not live in bitterness. He lived a happy life and just said, Saul wasn't right, but you know what? I'm going to be happy in the Lord. He stayed in God's will in spite of that. Next, he messed up when he left what brought him there. He messed up his life when he left what brought him to his greatness. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, I got to finish up with this. Wow, so I'm not going to quite finish this lesson. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after the year was expired that at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked to the roof of the king's house. By the way, he's in bed all day. From the roof, and he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David committed adultery, and he lied, and he murdered. The same David committed adultery and lied and murdered, and a baby died because of it, and it was a disaster for the nation, and thousands of people in Israel died because of it. Why? And his family line was messed up. I mean, everything. It was a disaster. But you know what? Everything David was a leader. David was diligent. David was submitting to God. He did everything that made him great, he quit doing. He quit leading. He became lazy. And he was not where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be leading the nation to war. And he said, you guys go fight. I'm just going to lay in my bed all day. I'm king. I don't have to do anything. And what made him great, being a shepherd and a common man, he became a king who just laid around and let other people go do everything. And he got outside the will of God where he's supposed to be and saw a woman who was very beautiful taking a bath and damaged a nation terribly and damaged his own life and damaged his own family. Why? Because he was not where he's supposed to be like he always was. And he got ruined because he was not where he's always supposed to be. He became dishonest and did not talk to God about it. He didn't confess his sin anymore when he did wrong. All these things David did. And then let me say this last statement. The rest of his life was guided by God because he returned to God in the right ways. David messed up, did all those things wrong, but then David returned to being David, what God had made him to be. And the rest of his life was good again after this disaster because, and God used him again because he returned to what he was. He became diligent again. He became in the will of God again. He became loving again, and he did what he ought to do. And he went back to being what he was. So the rest of his life is blessed. And if you messed up your life, can I tell you, you got a whole rest of your life to live in goodness if you'll serve God. Or you can live a miserable life outside the will of God. I sure didn't want to do that like David did. All right, there's an example of guidance of God on somebody's life, and David was guided in God's plan, and it was a great life for him, and I hope you realize God is trying to guide you in your life, stay in his will. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this lesson. I thank you we can see your example of guiding a life, Lord, and how David's life was guided and ordained of you when he stayed in it, and how amazing it was, though it had trials, Lord. It was brought to great things, and Lord, I pray we'd be flexible. I pray we'd be people who stay in your will and be guided by your authorities. I pray to be people who are diligent and people who love you supremely and don't leave your plan, Lord, and don't change and go away from your will. Help us, Lord, to learn from David's life, Father, and help us to learn that you have a plan and it's better than our plan, and you'll use our skills and you'll make us into something great if we'll let you for the future, Lord. Help us to do so and stay in that plan so we can find that great future. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What we do is we'll be dismissed for about 12 minutes, and we come back for our church service. You are dismissed.